This is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, August 13th. I'm Audra McCabe. The Delta County Sheriff's Office is warning residents of a new scam. They say scammers are contacting people from spoofed numbers appearing as Delta County and demanding payment to clear an arrest warrant. The callers are identifying themselves as Delta County jail staff. After the call is answered, the scammers send documents that appear to be legitimate. Next, they instruct victims to withdraw cash from a bank or ATM and travel to a Bitcoin kiosk in Montrose to clear the warrant and avoid arrest. The sheriff's office states that no law enforcement or government agency will ever demand payment over the phone or text and does not accept cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin. Residents should not provide personal or financial information and can simply hang up the call. A pair of new state laws taking effect today in Colorado address youth well-being on the playing field and online. One requires youth sports coaches, including those at middle and high schools, to complete mental health training every 2 years. Coaches must also remove kids from play if they suspect a concussion, notify their parents, and advise them to get a medical evaluation. The other law gives certain social media companies 72 hours to comply with search warrants from Colorado law enforcement. Supporters say quicker responses could help police obtain online evidence in cases involving youth suicide or drugs sold through the platforms. In other state news, the debate over debates in the Colorado race for governors is heating up. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
It's a perennial discussion that happens every election cycle. How many debates will candidates do, and what formats and hosts will they agree to? For the general election in November, Republican gubernatorial candidate Victor Marks and Democrat Phil Weiser are going back and forth about when and where to hold a face-to-face debate. Marks said he's committed to participating in one, but he doesn't want it to have any moderators, just the candidates directly asking each other questions. Weiser's campaign rejected that proposal and said, quote, "We only consider serious offers for debates." Weiser has already agreed to multiple media-hosted debates.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Wildfires have held the attention of Coloradans through a brutal season fueled by drought. But despite our fixation on the flames, few of us see the complex network of people working behind the scenes to fight them. If you pictured wildfire crews as just helicopter pilots and firefighters working in the woods, you're missing a big part of the picture. At the incident command post for the Gold Mountain Fire in Ridgway, dozens of people perform jobs that are essential to the response, but rarely get much public attention.
And so our job here, you can kind of think of it like Amazon.
We get to post up maps, closures, detailed information of the incident.
So I'm learning how to work with heavy equipment under the guidance of supervisors and experienced heavy equipment bosses. So
those three voices have very different roles. Julia Pappas keeps the command post stocked. Matthew Gelati keeps the public informed. And Brandon Hoagland operates heavy equipment used to repair areas disturbed by firefighting operations. This work is not solitary. The teams and individuals fighting the fire hail from all over the country, but that doesn't mean they operate as isolated cells. At the incident command post, many roles become intertwined. Hoagland, a lieutenant with South Metro Fire Rescue outside Denver, worked this fire as a heavy equipment boss trainee. His team works closely with resource advisors, specialists who guide suppression efforts to protect natural, cultural, and heritage assets. Those specialists, who usually have a background in biology or environmental science, guide operators like Hoagland on repairing burn scars and minimizing impact.
This is on Forest Service land, so we work with the resource advisors as far as what they want it to look like and the specs. So what the guidance we got was to come in, smooth out or kind of roughen up where the bulldozer put in containment line, and then to pull the brush back over it to help control erosion. And then so we work really closely with the resource advisors on the incident that'll tell us what this should look like when we're done.
Julia Pappas is an administrative specialist with the Mark Twain National Forest in Missouri. At the Gold Mountain Fire, she's working as a receiving and distributing manager trainee. Her role is crucial for managing the logistical supply chain in supporting the firefighting efforts.
So we take in the materials that are needed out on the line and here in camp, And then as people need something, we, you know, package it up and we deliver it to them. Or sometimes, like, they'll come pick it up. We do work very closely with ground support. So their trailer is actually right next to ours because they're the ones that provide the drivers to take stuff out into the field.
And the collaboration doesn't stop at the command post. Gelati says every person working on the fire has another network of people supporting them back home.
Not just my wife, Olivia, or my kiddo, Penelope, but my family, my, you know, my mom, sister, siblings, all my family, they jump in to help support her. And then on top of that, you know, my home unit too, they're taking care of staffing my position too. So to have, you know, it's one person going out to another community, but behind that scenes, behind the curtain, you don't see the tens of hundreds of people that are supporting that role. So huge, huge shout out to the families out there, for everybody from the firefighters online to, you know, the incident commander, logistics, radio comms, everybody that does stuff here. They got somebody else back home helping take care of, I wouldn't say the slack, but taking care of that work that just needs to be done.
From the people repairing containment lines to those keeping the command post stocked and the families supporting them back home, wildfire response depends on far more people than those we think of on the fire line. It's a vast network of people with wildly different skills, backgrounds, and responsibilities, all working together to keep each other safe and protect our communities. Amateur fossil hunters have a nickname. They're called rock hounds. And as Lube Alvarez discovered for our Mountain West News Bureau, the hounds help paleontologists in their efforts to uncover the distant past.
On a bright morning in July, the sun beat down on Hillary Loopy's white Jeep as it rattled across a dusty playa.
Everybody knows Jurassic Park, right? Before that, we had the extinction event known as the Great Dying, when 95% of life on Earth died.
Loopy's a member of the Reno Gem and Mineral Society and calls herself a rock hound. She visits the canyons and hills southeast of Walker Lake a lot to look for fossils. On a recent trip, Loopy made an exciting discovery.
As soon as I popped over the hill, the first thing I saw was like a very clearly distal femur bone laying on the ground.
Today, this area is covered in crumbling shale and dry, spiky plants. But millions of years ago, it was a tropical sea teeming with marine life. There were ammonites, squid-like creatures whose fossilized shells are among the most common in the area. It was also home to ichthyosaurs, whose name means fish lizard. They're known for their long snouts and needle-sharp teeth. Their remains are Nevada's state fossil, and that's what Loopy thought she might have found.
They were alive at one time, and they're just here as a rock.
It's legal to pick up small amounts of plant and invertebrate fossils on federal land, but finding fossilized bones can be an icky situation because you need a permit to collect them. So Loopy pinned the location on a map and sent photographs of her find to paleontologists.
First thing that draws your eye to one if you're out prospecting is the shape.
One of those paleontologists is Gary McGoy. He works at Idaho State University. After he heard about Loopy's discovery, he visited the site to confirm whether it was a fossil or not.
And we have our little hand lenses to look up closer. You're looking for any of that kind of spongy, porous texture that shows that it's the same thing we see in modern bone.
If all else fails, McGoy says, there's one other way to confirm if something is a fossil.
The classic paleontologist licking bone to see if it sticks to your tongue.
Unfortunately for Loopy, appearances can be deceiving. The faux femur proved not to be a fossil at all.
But the way that we were able to determine that it's not is it was missing the bone texture.
While this bone-like rock proved to be, well, just a rock, it's not uncommon for hobbyists like Loopy to stumble upon unique finds. In fact, she's found ichthyosaur fossils before. That's why academics like McGoy take these reports seriously. And he's hopeful that groups like the Reno Gem and Mineral Society will get more people involved.
Keep being excited about paleontology, keep supporting these programs throughout the state, and Nevada's a really great place full of these amazing fossils.
Loopy's disappointed she didn't come across an ichthyosaur fossil this time, but she says no matter what you're looking for, rock hounding is a good way to find some peace and quiet, and maybe even take a little piece of natural history home with you.
It's like an Easter egg hunt.
And there could always be new fossils just beyond the next hill, waiting to be discovered.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, August 13th. I'm Audra McCabe.